Privileges now.
Yes, I do. And I'm recording. Woo.
To introduce Brother Jay's fourth class, he's asked that we take a reading, and that reading will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we've asked our brother Ethan Jones to read that for us, please. Thank you very much, Brother Ethan. This is Okanagan Central Ecclesia's Year-End Studies 2020. The speaker is our brother Jay Mayock under the heading Timothy, Man of God. And this is class number 4 under the subtitle Collection. Brother Jay, please.
Thanks again, Brother Dan. And good morning again, brothers and sisters. We've come to our fourth class in the study now, and we're going to be looking again at the third missionary journey. And I hope what we learn about this particular moment in the life of Timothy, where the life of the Apostle Paul comes before us to our consideration, and our Corinthian brothers and sisters come before us. I hope that we're able to learn what it means to seek reconciliation and to live according to the spirit of forgiveness in our lives. That's one of the great lessons to come out of this particular portion of the life of Timothy. Before we do that, what I thought we'd do is just a very brief overview again, as we do at the beginning of each class, and have a look at the area of the world with which Timothy was concerned, and not just to think about this geographically, but to think about it ecclesially, and to see the different regions and think about the different ecclesias and brothers and sisters and individuals that were a part of these meetings with whom Timothy had to do about 2,000 years ago now. And so from east to west, we have Galatia and Asia. We have Macedonia and Achaia. And we've been through the first missionary journey already. And it was during that time that the Apostle Paul and Barnabas came throughout the region and visited Timothy's family in that hometown of Lystra, right in the middle of the first missionary journey. And it was in the second missionary journey that the Apostle Paul and Silas this time picked Timothy up and brought him along for the work, where they traveled all through Galatia, delivering the decrees from the Jerusalem conference, and moved into Macedonia, eventually ending up down in Achaia. But Timothy spent quite a bit of time at Philippi, we know, and at Thessalonica and Berea, and actually made trips back and forth, carrying the letter of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, we believe, finding out how the brethren were doing, his joy and his crown, not just his, but the Apostle Paul and Silas as well. And then we come to the third missionary journey, where yesterday we had a look at the exhortation that drawing Timothy alongside of the Apostle Paul, where he says, I need you to stay while I go in Macedonia. I need you to stay here in Ephesus and contend for the truth here. And so Timothy does. And that's what the first epistle of Timothy is all about. It's Paul's message to Timothy to encourage him and to instruct him on how to keep the truth in love there in Ephesus. And so we're coming today to another portion of the third missionary journey. This is toward the end of the third missionary journey, where Timothy is sent ahead by Paul to Corinth. And we read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles in front of you. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it's really an incredible chapter where Paul is defending his own apostleship, not for his sake, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he details all of the sufferings that they were experiencing there in Ephesus. And we'll see those verses again as we move through. where it talked about how they were suffering from hunger and thirst in verse 11. They were without proper clothing. They were buffeted, it says. It appears they were subject to beatings there. And they had no certain dwelling place. They labored, working with their own hands. They were spoken against. They were reviled, he says. But they were enduring all those things there in Ephesus. And the apostle writes to the Corinthian brothers and sisters, asking them to receive him, and in particular, to receive Timothy, who Paul would be sending to them on his behalf. In verse 16, "For this cause I've sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who would bring you in remembrance of all these things." That was to be during the second part of this third missionary journey. That's the timing of the first epistle of the Corinthians. And so when we have a look here now at the map again, we've been through Lystra there, number one, and number one at the second Lystra, that begins the second missionary journey where Paul picks Timothy up, and we've followed Timothy. We've traced him in so many of his journeys. Number one, all the way back to number nine, where the apostle and Timothy go back to Antioch. And they begin again the third missionary journey in Galatia, in Phrygia. They move throughout that area. And probably at that time, Timothy would have visited home. If it was that all those ecclesias were being strengthened again by another visit of the apostle, Timothy probably would have gone home at that time with the apostle Paul. And by number 11, Timothy is in Ephesus. And he spends the time there, as Paul had exhorted him to do, according to 1 Timothy. And so now we're going to be coming up to number 12, where Timothy is sent to Corinth eventually. That's where he goes. But he was probably sent first to Macedonia, we believe. At any rate, he does end up again in Macedonia, as it says at number 13 there. And then they move to Greece, to Philippi, to Jerusalem to deliver the poor fund. So that's number 16 there, is the delivery of the poor fund. And that's where we will end our class today. But right now we're concerned with Timothy and his work with the Corinthian brothers and sisters. And this, of course, will be Timothy's later journeys about, and we don't know as much about these. We'll come to that in our final class. So how did we get to Corinth here? Well, this is how it went. This is the one place that we're going to be focusing on in particular, here in Corinth. Well, it began in Lystra, as we saw, during the first missionary journey, and then again at the second missionary journey, where Paul and Silas pick Timothy up. And they move all the way through, forbidden to preach the word in Asia. After delivering the decrees in the regions of Galatia, they move into Macedonia and they go to Philippi. And it's there that Paul and Silas are beaten. It's there that Lydia is converted. The jailer is converted as well. All the way to Philippi. And from Philippi, they move to Thessalonica and they stop there preaching at the synagogue of the Jews. And they were very blessed in their preaching there. The word of God bore much fruit in Thessalonica. And from Thessalonica, they had to flee to Berea because of the persecution. And we read about that in Acts chapter 17 at verse 10. And these were more noble, it says, than those in Thessalonica, who had, so many of them had pushed out the believers, or the apostles at that particular time. But here they searched the word with all readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily, these Bereans did. And it was the Bereans who sent Paul away to Athens. And then later on, Timothy and Silas caught up with them. And Timothy goes back to Thessalonica, exhorting the brothers there, encouraging them, and comes back again to bring Paul word. And from Thessalonica, Timothy and Silas meet Paul in Corinth to begin the work of preaching there. And that's what we learn in Acts chapter 18. So they spend some time there in Corinth. And after that, they spend some time there in Ephesus, not too much time because Paul wants to keep the feast back home, which is where they go. They head back to Antioch, it says in Acts chapter 22. And then the third missionary journey begins. And Timothy with Paul is moving through Galatia in Phrygia, it says, strengthening the disciples there. And they come over into Ephesus now, which is where we spent our last class. So that's number 11. And that's where we're going to pick up right now. And it's going to be from Ephesus that Timothy, Paul, and Titus will begin a mission that we're going to be piecing together right now. So you can see the map there where Ephesus is. And this is where Timothy, Titus, and Paul were together, we believe. And you see across the water there, Athens, and then Corinth. So the Apostle Paul is writing 1 Corinthians to the Corinthians from Ephesus. And we know that because of what's written in 1 Corinthians. Let's just have a look over there quickly at the end of 1 Corinthians. We've just had 1 Corinthians 4 read. But if we look at the end of 1 Corinthians, this is what it says in chapter 16. Verse 5, he says, Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. And then he says here at verse 8, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. So Paul's saying, look, I have to stay here. I have a work to do here in Ephesus. I have a great work to do. There's incredible persecution as well, though. But the door's open, and I'm doing work here, but I'm sending Timothy, as he says again in the next verse, ahead. So that gives us a bit of an idea as to what's happening over here. Now, we said at the outset that this story that we're about to see unfolded now, as we start to piece together what happened, is all about the spirit of forgiveness and seeking reconciliation. Paul is appealing and trying to bring back his Corinthian brothers and sisters back on side, because there was a group, a prevailing group, it seems, in that ecclesia, and many different groups that were causing a very difficult time for the brothers and sisters there. And it was calling into question their standing. And Paul is very serious with them about this. And this is something that I really think that we need to understand. And I think it's something we need to understand about the truth in our day. And it's not something we're going to dwell on for very long, but it's important to understand this. Even though the Apostle Paul appeals out of love, and he is forbearant, and he is reaching out to them as much as he can, it is also true, brothers and sisters and young people, that he is saying to these brothers and sisters that if I come and I find you not walking in the way that you ought to be walking, there are going to be consequences. And there were consequences that were administered by the apostles in those days that were very serious when those were in the truth, but not really in the truth. We read about the Corinthians who were, some of them were questioning the resurrection. There was an egregious case of immorality among them, sexual immorality, that they were tolerating in the meeting. There was rampant pride in the meeting that was going unchecked. And sometimes I've heard this said, and maybe you haven't heard this said, and this is going to sound ridiculous, and I hope it does, but I've heard it said, even by those in our own community sometimes, that Corinth was so bad, it shows us that we really ought never to withdraw from anyone. And that is not the message of the apostles. Because the Apostle Paul, as we will see just by looking at a couple of verses, is is very firm. He's loving, but he's firm. Look at what he says at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. A brother just read it. Did you notice that verse at the end? Now, this is the Apostle Paul, who was suffering all things, who was being patient with the Corinthians, but he was not going to tolerate at that particular time to continue what was happening in the meeting. And so it says in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 4, now some of you are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not just in word, but in power. So what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? So Paul, although he was not yet coming unto them, he was giving them space to repent. And one of the ways that he was giving them space was in the appeal of sending Timothy. And we're going to find out what happened, we believe, with Timothy's mission. And just turn in your Bibles once more at the end. This is now to the end of 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, the end of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to see how these epistles fit together. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul is actually now together with Timothy in Macedonia, about to come to Corinth, look at what he says in chapter 13, verses 1 to 2. He says, this is the third time I am coming unto you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and all other, that if I come again, I will not spare. And so that is a warning from the Apostle Paul, to make sure that they were following in the ways that they ought to be following, or else he would come to be able to exercise the authority that was given unto him as an apostle to withdraw, to separate those who were content to remain among the ecclesia, but were continuing with them and beginning to destroy it. Now, the Apostle Paul was not in a rush to do that, because what he wanted was to reconcile them and bring them back. He didn't want to punish them. He didn't want to shame them, as he said in 1 Corinthians 4. But as my beloved sons, I warn you. And unless we understand the truth, and this is true for our families, it's true for our children, it's true for our individual ecclesias, and it's true for the brotherhood, unless we are able to keep the truth and to understand how it is that we must keep the truth in our days, we have to recognize this principle. It's not simply about preaching the truth and that's all that there is to it. It's also about warning against error. And it's also about exercising judgment in certain issues, even when it comes to fellowship, when the truth has been rejected from among a group of brethren. And that is not something that ought to be rushed at. And the wonderful story about the Corinthian ecclesia that we'll see is that peace and reconciliation and forgiveness that Paul was seeking and that Timothy was seeking was given to these brothers and sisters at this time. It's such a beautiful story. So let's have a look at the story. But in order to get it, we've got to piece it all together. So this is something that we looked at yesterday. This was Timothy and how he got to Corinth at the second missionary journey. I think it makes a really good Bible box, if I do say so myself. We're not going to concentrate on this one, but that was the initial journey to Corinth and how Paul and Silas and Timothy end up there. But now I want you to have a look at another one. Now, if you want to take a screenshot of that really quick, again, you can have any of these slides, but if you want to take a screenshot of that one to mark in your Bibles, go for it. All the references are there. We just don't have time to move through it. So now we're looking at Timothy and the third missionary journey. And this is where we have to do some piecing together of the biblical record. And this is pretty fun. So we're going to go through this slowly, but we're not going to go too slowly. So first, Paul plans to visit Corinth by way of Macedonia. How do we know that? Well, it's going to be good to do a little bit of flipping right now. And really, we've either had coffee or cinnamon buns or both. So we are in a very good position to be flipping and flipping quickly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, just have a look at verse 5. And we've already read this, but this is just to remind us. It says, "Now I will come unto you," this is Paul to the Corinthians, "when I shall pass through Macedonia. For I am passing through Macedonia." I do pass through Macedonia. Now, that links right up with Acts chapter 19 at verse 21. So you can have a look there. It's actually in your margin too. But it's always good to make sure that we can prove these things for sure. Acts 19, verse 21. And there it says, "After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome." So Paul, he only shares with the Corinthians in chapter 16 at verse 5 that he's planning to go from Macedonia to Corinth. Acts tells us that's actually Macedonia to Achaia, right? And then from there, he's planning to move on to Jerusalem. So what's that look like? It looks like this. Paul plans to visit Corinth via Macedonia. So there we go. So everything that you'll see up on that Bible marking box over here, actually on that last slide, you'll be able to see on the next map slide as well. So here we go. Paul plans to visit Corinth. But first, Paul sends Timothy to Corinth and Macedonia. So if you're over there in Acts chapter 19 again, look at what it says in verse 22. Acts 19 and 22, it says, "So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season." Now, that's exactly what Paul had said in 1 Corinthians 16, just a few verses down, remember? He said that there is a great door and effectual that's opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. That was in Ephesus, which was in Asia. And it was from that city that all of Asia was hearing the word of God. But Paul would send Timothy first to Corinth and Macedonia. Why do we say that? Well, Acts, he's going to Macedonia. And in Corinthians, he's also going to be going to Corinth. That's what Paul says in verse 10. "Now, if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me. For I'm looking for him with the brethren." Now, can you imagine that the Apostle Paul had to write to another ecclesia and saying that when Timothy comes, if he comes, don't scare the poor brother. And can you imagine that? By the way, just don't scare him. Because when you went to Corinth, it could have been a scary place sometimes. When we read about the rampant pride, I mean, that would have been very difficult for Timothy. But it wasn't going to be too difficult for him because God was preparing him for this particular work. So there's Paul sending Timothy first to Corinth and then to Macedonia. And that's what we think happened. It is possible that he went to Corinth and then Macedonia, but it's so possible he went this way as well. So probably Corinth and Macedonia. And that's what Paul's intention was to do. That's what seems to be happening. Remember, Paul said that I'm going to come unto you as I'm passing through Macedonia. But first I'm sending Timothy. That's why another reason we suggest that he goes following that that same way that Paul would later go. And there Timothy goes, and he ends up in Corinth. So by the time that this has actually been written, just look over here at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at what it says. This is verse 17 now. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus. For this cause have I sent, not I'm going to send, but I have already sent him. So by the time that the Corinthian letter has been sent off, either Timothy himself could be bearing it, but it does seem as though it goes ahead, or Timothy goes ahead of the letter in some way, so that they receive this message from him, because Paul's telling him about Timothy's coming. Maybe he's already given the command to Timothy to go, but that's what's happening here. And next we read that Paul sends Titus to Corinth, planning to meet him at Troas. So Titus is sent now. Not just Timothy is going, but Titus now is going. And Titus, as we'll find, is going to get there also before Paul does. Titus is going to get to Corinth before Paul does. And he plans to meet up with Titus in a place called Troas. And that was the plan. And we know that that was the plan because we look at the book of 2 Corinthians. I know we're jumping into another book here, but look at what the plan was. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 at verse 12. And this says, this is before Paul is coming to Corinth. Verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them in Troas, I went from there into Macedonia. So the plan was for Paul to meet at Troas. It was to meet Titus at Troas, and he doesn't see him, and he's beside himself. I had no rest in my spirit. He had already sent Titus to Corinth. He had already sent Timothy to Corinth. And now he's without both brethren at this particular time. And they were also experiencing great persecution there at that time. So Paul sends Titus to Corinth, planning to meet him at Troas. And perhaps Titus went through Macedonia, perhaps he went straight to Achaia, we're not really sure. But those are the passages that speak about that, 2 Corinthians 2 and 2 Corinthians 12. So there's Titus now in Corinth. And it appears that very possibly Titus and Timothy were just missed each other in Corinth. They just missed each other. And so we read now that Paul meets Timothy in Macedonia. This is what happens next. Remember, he was supposed to meet Titus in Troas, but he doesn't. He ends up meeting Timothy in Macedonia. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 1. It says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the ecclesia of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Now, that is significant. The first letter to the Corinthians was written not by Paul and Timothy. It was only written by the apostle Paul, and Timothy was sent to go to the Corinthians. But now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, this is Paul and Timothy unto the ecclesia of God at Corinth. And we find out that they actually meet up together, we'll find out a little bit later on, in Macedonia, because they're writing to all the saints that are in Achaia. So what has happened now? Paul meets Timothy in Macedonia, and it does appear that Timothy and Titus missed each other. But Paul, as he was intending to do, remember, leaves Asia after doing some more preaching, and comes into Macedonia, and it's there that he meets Timothy, as we will see. And here's what happens. Paul and Timothy are alone in Macedonia by themselves. Timothy has already been to Corinth, we believe, just like Paul had intended for him to do, to go to the Corinthians to try and bring them alongside, to try and bring them into remembrance of his ways which were in Christ. And Timothy and Paul, we're going to find out, are in Macedonia, and they are beside themselves in trial until they get a knock at the door. And it's Titus. It's their brother Titus, the brother that Paul had sent after Timothy, it seems, had left to go to Corinth as well. Paul sent Titus there too, again to try to appeal to them and to try and reconcile them. It's why Paul delayed in coming to Corinth. It was not just because of the preaching in Asia. He tells us in other places that it was also to spare them, to give them a little bit more room to repent. And that patience, that forbearance brought them the opportunity that Titus had when he came to them. So Titus now brings good news to Paul and Timothy in Macedonia. They all meet up, and we read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll have a look at verse 5. Look at what he says. The Apostle Paul here is speaking, he's saying we, because he's speaking about Paul and Timothy in particular. Paul and Timothy, they had not yet really been received by the Corinthians since they had been away. And what that tells us is that Timothy's coming unto them, when Paul had sent them, had not accomplished what he hoped to accomplish in that sending of Timothy. It says that I'm going to send Timothy to you, Paul says, to bring you in remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. And Timothy couldn't do it. For whatever reason, he was unable to do that. But Titus does bring good news. In verse 5, he says, "For when we, Paul and Timothy, were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. But nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." And so Paul and Timothy, they're just struggling. Have you ever been just really low and a brother and a sister has said the right thing to you about something? And they just refresh you, pick you right back up. That was Paul and Timothy. And Titus comes in the room with a big smile on his face, and they're comforted, and they're just so thankful. Paul had missed him in Troas. "Oh, Titus, you're all right. What took you so long?" And it appears that it was because Titus was working with the Corinthians. Verse 7, not by his coming only, not just the fact that Titus was there, and we love him, because you couldn't help but love Titus, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, Paul, so that I rejoice the more. So he gets this good news that after all this time and after all this appeal by Paul and by Timothy later on, that finally Titus brings him around. And so what do Paul and Timothy do? They fold their arms up and they say, well, they didn't listen to us. They didn't do that at all, because they were seeking reconciliation without compromising the truth at all. When that reconciliation became apparent, and the evidence of that was brought before, they couldn't help but rejoice and be comforted and thank God that Titus was there in the providence of God and able to do what they couldn't do. There's just a beautiful lesson in that, these three brothers working together to try and reconcile their brethren back to them. And so Paul sends Titus to Corinth once again. And in particular, what he's hoping to do for 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 16 to 18 is, he says in verse 16, "Thanks be to God," they did thank God, "which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed, he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the ecclesias." Probably this was Luke himself. We can talk about that another time. And so even though it had appeared now that the ecclesia had come on side, there were those that were still holding out. And so in verse 23, he says, if anybody inquires of Titus, because I'm going to send him back to make sure that you're going to be, you're preparing to keep the fund, to put up the money for the fund each first day of the week, as he had been commanded. He's my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or if our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the ecclesia and the glory of Christ. And there was still a warning, as we read before in 2 Corinthians 13, though, who were still holding out and who still hadn't made a judgment alongside the apostles. And Paul himself said, look, I'll deal with that when I come. I haven't tarried my coming to you because I'm uncertain about what to do in any way. I did it to spare you, to give you a chance to repent, to give you a little bit more time. And that did bring forth fruit. So Paul sends Titus to Corinth again. And then finally, we read that Paul and Timothy collect the Corinthians' contribution. They hear Titus's exhortation. They hear from the Apostle Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians that Paul and Timothy had written to them. Paul and Timothy move down and collect the Corinthians' contribution. That's what it says. And actually, we read that in Acts chapter 20, just a couple of verses now. Now, I understand that it's, what would it be? 10 o'clock right now, I believe, where we are. I'm going to steal that 5 minutes from the first class that I lost. I'm going to take it right now. But I'll only go five. So if we look at the book of Acts, chapter 20, we read about this journey. Verse 1, it says, after the uproar in Ephesus, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed to go into Macedonia. We read about him going into Macedonia. That's where he was expecting to meet first Titus at Troas. He didn't see him. And then he goes into Macedonia and meets Timothy. And then Titus meets him there, as we read in 2 Corinthians. And when he had gone over those parts in Macedonia, he had given them much exhortation. He came into Greece and there abode 3 months. Where's Greece? It's Achaia. Where's Achaia? It's Corinth. And what did he do in Corinth? He picked up the Jerusalem Poor Fund in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 was written to the ecclesia at Rome from Corinth. Look at what it says in verse 25 of Romans chapter 15. Now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints with the Poor Fund. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain fellowship for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So it was Macedonia. He picked up the fund. He'd already picked it up throughout Galatia, throughout Macedonia. And now coming into Achaia, he picks up the fund there as well. They did receive the apostle. They did receive the fund. And it was from there that they would move on to, after Paul and Timothy came into Greece, to collect that contribution from the Corinthian brethren, to top up the poor fund and get ready to head back to Judea to deliver it for those poor saints at Jerusalem. And so there it was. This is step number 12. Now, what a wonderful lesson we have looking at the life of Timothy here. Through Macedonia, into Corinth, and then we read that they go, that Timothy went back into Macedonia to meet with the Apostle Paul. They came to Greece again to pick up the poor fund. And then they headed back. This is Acts chapter 20 now. We know that Timothy's there in the background because we pick up those details a little bit later. Look at what it says there in verse 3 of Acts 20. They abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and that's what happened. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and that makes sense because they've just gone through Macedonia up there. Aristarchus and Secundus, Gaius of Derbe. So Derbe, that was back over there in Galatia, and Timotheus, who was probably the delegate from from Galatia as well. And of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus, and these going before tarried for us at Troas. And from Troas, from Philippi, they go to Troas, and then they head up to Jerusalem to deliver the poor fund. And there it says, after greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. This was the moment. This was the time where the poor fund would have been delivered. Acts chapter 21. And Timothy, as one of the delegates, was there with them. So who is Timothy? In addition to all these things, Timothy, we find, was socially timid. Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10, not that he tells the Corinthians not to despise him. Don't let him be in fear among you. But he was also an incredibly forgiving brother. Even though they had spoken against him and Paul, his father in the faith, they rejoiced in their conversion when Titus brought them that news. And it's a wonderful thing to think about that reunion that was based not just on emotion, but it involved it, but was based on truth in love. The trials that Timothy was experiencing was not an excuse to carry a grudge. It was not an excuse to stop working. It was not an excuse to leave the truth. And what a welcome that would have been in Corinth for Paul and for Timothy. It's wonderful to think about what that must have looked like. And it's within our power, brothers and sisters, with the blessing of God, that we can know what that looks like in our lives, in places where we need reconciliation and ought to be seeking reconciliation as best we can in the days that remain before our Lord Jesus Christ returns. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the apostle says. It all begins with God. He reached out to us. And we love him, his son, because he first loved us.